We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. This is Cheryl from Dja-Dja-Wurrung country.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 184 of the Beyond 90 podcast. It's been another wild weekend in the world of women's football, especially in Australia. I'm joined by Majella Card, Emma Burke, and Del Roots to cover all of lovely craziness for you. So first, to check in with my co-host, I'll start with you, Dale, because you were down in Melbourne for at least part of the long weekend. And yeah, looked like you had a good time.
I did. Had a wonderful time. Went to two games of football. I went to three because I went to the men's game after the Victory Sydney game. It was a good weekend. Got some culture, drank some beer, ate some great food, saw some good people. It's a lovely time out.
Yep, and of course, Dale, doing great work live tweeting both of the games that were at Amy Park for us on the last weekend. Thanks so much. Also, speaking of Melbourne, of course, Emma, we'll get onto this. Mixed results for the teams as far as you're concerned, but you got to enjoy some football.
Yeah, I mean, enjoy is a strong word. It happened. I was also at the Big Blue, the Sydney, Victory Sydney game, I should say, which was long. It felt long. But yes, I was at that as well. So yeah, but it was nice to get down there. It was a nice atmosphere. So
yeah, and
or at least nice enough until everyone started. But I digress. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was good while our people were there. That's the main thing. Now I've just suddenly realized I haven't been to Amy Park in almost 5 years. I should really work on that. But as someone who should be happy after the weekend's results, Madge, I was there to watch your beloved Raw take three very valuable points.
Yeah, so I'm happy for once. So it's like just I was able to enjoy my Sunday without the haze of funk sadness. So yes, I did enjoy my the rest of my weekend after that win.
Yes, and as people who will be listen to the previous podcast, you'll be glad to know I do not have COVID anymore. I've just come back from my first day back at the office, and I do like the thought of getting it just before the NPL season starts, so it's like a tactical yellow card in the Champions League, where it's the fifth group stage game, you've already qualified for the knockouts, you pick up your second yellow cards, miss the sixth group stage game, and you're good for the first leg of the quarterfinals. So I feel like that's what I've done. But anyway, tactical yellow cards, we might get onto that a bit more later on. But firstly, this week's feature, Matilda, cap 184, Brianna Davey, one of those annoying people who is good at multiple sports. But seriously, Brianna, Matilda's debut in 2012, played for the national team until 2015, went to a World Cup as well. 18 caps. She was a goalkeeper, a very good goalkeeper for both Melbourne Victory and Melbourne City. Of course, more recent WOSO fans may know her more as a very successful AFLW player. This is where I'll throw to our resident Victorian, Emma. Has she won a title in AFLW as well?
Ooh.
In addition to her dub title with Melbourne City?
I don't think so.
She won best and fairest in 2021.
Yes. And she is the Collingwood captain, as far as I'm aware, but no flags.
No flag. Testing the memory banks a bit, but as I said earlier, she was a really good goalkeeper. And I think in a lot of ways we miss her in the world of football.
Most of my memories of Brie Davey are from her playing at Melbourne City. So that first City sort of team in 2016 season. So she was their starting keeper, and that was the first kind of season that I watched A-League Women's. And if you don't know, that Melbourne City team was the team that year. Rhea Devi may or may not have played a big role in that. I don't know. Does it does your goalkeeper really have to do much when you have a midfield of like Kim Little and Jess Fishlock at their peak? I don't know. But, you know, she was there. It was, I feel like I recall her saving a penalty or two, potentially. Maybe I'm making that up. I don't know. But no, she always had a really sort of authoritative presence in goals. Like, you could tell she always knew what she wanted her defenders to be doing, which is somehow an underrated skill of goalkeepers, even though I feel like that should be their whole job. But yeah, no, it was always really good watching her play because I was like, oh, breeze and goal. Everything's fine. We're safe. And yeah, she also had her stint with the Matildas. She actually went to the World Cup in 2015 as well. I don't believe she played though, but she was president. So yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, definitely one of those keepers. I mean, I don't want to compare. She reminds me a little bit of, or I guess probably the other way around, but Tegan Micah, I think, reminds me a little bit of her in that really mobile, good sort of all-round, great shot stopper. She's that type of keeper that would always be happy running out and defending, cutting off attacks. I also remember, a few injuries and concussions sort of along the way. But yeah, just a great goalkeeper and a goalkeeper when it comes to Matilda's level, such great goalkeeping stocks that we've had sort of over those times that, seeing that she got 18 appearances, I'm actually surprised it was, that many just because of the competition for that. For that goalkeeping spot at Matilda's level, she was definitely one of the talents that was football's loss and AFL's gain for sure.
Yeah, I'd agree with all that. Put in one of the great W League goalkeeping performances in a semi-final against Canberra at Cardinia Park, I believe, in 2014. If you want to go back and watch the highlights of that, I would thoroughly recommend it. And yeah, as you guys mentioned, an authoritative goalkeeper, kind of in the same vein as many of our goalkeepers now. She, as you guys said, she originally went to the World Cup and then she was dropped for Bubs in 2015, which, as you guys said, was kind of a sliding doors moment for the Matildas, really. I mean, if you think about how long Bubs are stuck around from then and what Bree Davies has kind of gone on to do, you could say that was probably the sliding doors moment, as I said, that maybe convinced her that there wasn't a future in the Matildas, which is such a shame because she was such a great goalkeeper. And obviously her quality in the AFLW kind of speaks to that athleticism and vision and ability to kind of, play effectively both sides of the ball, which as a distributive goalkeeper in the modern game is would be so key. But, you know, as you said, it's AFLW's gain, best and fairest in 2021, and one of the greats of a kind of fledgling competition.
Yeah, and Madge, I liked your Tegan Micah comparison because pre-pod, preparing for a brief split second, I actually thought she had at one point played for the Wanderers. No, that was Tegan Micah. So we're kind of on the same wavelength there. But, you know, football's lost, but, you know, good to see people being fulfilled in this. If she's Collingwood captain, then she's definitely being appreciated in her new sport. Now, on to the latest weekend of dub action, and we might as well start with you, Dale, and actually, and you, Emma, as well, because you were at Amy Park also, but those two games in Melbourne on Thursday and Friday. Firstly, Melbourne City 1, Western United 3, and yeah, it's just the dub does this. Like, Melbourne City aren't going to have it all their own way, so, and you know, Western United now up to second. Another great coaching performance from Cat Smith.
Yeah, I thought the City game, they looked completely out of sorts. They just looked, it wasn't like they were disinterested. They were honestly totally played off the park. Western set up in a way that allowed them to play relatively well on the counter, and not even really on the counter, just kind of like really quickly in transition, whether that was kind of passing the ball around the back and then going out wide, and playing as quickly as possible. And in reality, I don't think City really had much of an answer, especially in the second half. As I mentioned in the coverage, Carly Johnson kind of having an instant impact as soon as she came off the bench, and like her role was basically just get up the wing and run as fast as possible at defenders, and that kind of, and being able to put her on especially, and then a couple of other changes that they made, being able to put them on Papadopoulos was another one who kind of got a little bit of work done in the second half. But City just, it's like they kind of ran out of ideas after about 60 minutes, and then Western really put the foot down and kind of drove away with it. Hannah Keane was good as well. Another two goals for her. I think she's been fairly quiet in the last few weeks, at least from my watching, but good to see her get another two goals on the score sheet. But yeah, City will definitely want to watch this one back. I think they'll learn a lot from this performance, because as you say, Eric, everything's kind of gone their way so far this season.
Yeah, that's brilliantly summed up. And they've already played each other twice, haven't they? Yeah, okay. So, I mean,
the other game was supposedly a cracker, if I recall correctly.
It was, in fact.
Was that Amy Park as well, I think?
Oh, no, it was City Vista.
That's right.
I believe with Carly Johnson scoring from about 25 yards in that game.
Correctly.
So, yeah, well, we might see those two meet in the finals. Now, to the Friday game, Melbourne Victory 1, Sydney FC 1. You mentioned, I mean, we like to be positive on this podcast, but you did say you mentioned running out of ideas for the Thursday game. Yeah, I think that was my vibe watching the Friday game, unfortunately. Two goals early on, but then
nothing.
Yeah.
Just nothing.
Yes.
Yeah, I
totally agree. A whole lot of looking like something was going to happen, and then nothing. And then that was just kind of on repeat for about 75 minutes. Yeah, it was a long day.
So it's basically, they're trying to start a fire in the rain. That's the way that I would describe it. They got the spark early on, and then they just kept trying to light a fire with wet wood. And these two teams just, it wasn't even that they cancelled each other out. Like, you know, when you see a good, like a really good 1-1 or a good 0-0 where they go at each other and there's chances of plenty. Like, this game had chances of plenty, but they were like shots from 20 yards and like missed opportunities, like missed kicks. Yeah. You know, I know Mandela was in prison for 27 years, but that's a lot like what this game felt like. I felt like I had been incorrectly charged for a crime that I did not commit.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, I'll take that. I think the best chance like of the game after both the goals have been scored was literally the last play of the additional time, when I believe it was Abby Lemon, her header like just ricocheted. You could see the goalpost like shaking from the force.
Yeah, that's right. I think it was, yeah.
It was quite literally the last play
at the northern end. Yeah, I remember that. This game was just a game that had to happen, and it happened.
Thank God.
Yeah, a draw was definitely a fair result.
It was. My God, it was.
No one was robbed, but everyone was bored.
Yeah. They brought, both of them brought 0% interest to the, to the contest.
Where's that screenshot of like some comment on YouTube where it's like, go girl, give us nothing. That was the game.
Also, shout out to Kat Smith for nearly walking into me. Like, I got to Amy Park early on the Thursday, and I came around the corner, and so did Kat Smith, and we nearly went face to face, quite literally. But it was weird being there so early, and like the gates weren't open until 4:45, and I was just kind of like walking around absolutely lost because I'd never been to the press box before.
Oh yes,
I did that the first time I went to the press box at Amy Park. They sent me down.
Oh yeah, it's tricky. I have been there.
And then
I did a
full lap of like the tunnels underneath Amy Park. Yeah. It was hell. It was hell. I thought I was going to die down there.
Like, I walked past the players' race and I was like, I definitely should not be here. I'm definitely not allowed to be here.
I was like walking past the back offices for like the Storm and the Rebels, yeah. And I was like, "This is the
oh,
end."
Oh, look at Jim! I just this well, is the I'm, end. Not, I'm a long way from where I should be.
I'm not coming out of this.
Yeah, it's yeah. I have also myself. Been. Yeah, I've also been at a dub game before the fans are there because they open the gate stupidly late.
Mm.
Shout out to you, Spotless Stadium, and especially the Olympic Stadium at Homebush and the world's hardest to find press box. My God, that's.
Yeah, that's it like is very backrooms adjacent. Like yeah. You're never leaving. You're going in there, and you're gonna find things that you're gonna, you know, you're gonna think about them in your sleep.
Anyway, and yeah, there was also a game, but yeah, I hope it was better on the Saturday and the Sunday. Just we will briefly acknowledge Adelaide 2, Perth Glory 1. Sorry to all the Adelaide fans. It was a big win, but I mean it's. So this is the one we didn't get around to watching in more detail. And Adelaide, I think recovering well after committing the curious making the curious decision of just letting Hannah Lowry shoot on her left foot 8 yards out from goal. So Perth for leading, but then scoring right at the end of the first half and then right at the start of the second half. And yeah, Morgan Aquino's been good, but that, you know, that I think that the second Adelaide goal, that's what being a goalkeeper is like. It's the most harshly judged position on the field, but you know, she's got the quality, she'll bounce back from that, and you know, she's got the faith of Alexa Parker, so I think that's what really matters. And Perth still, oh god, why'd I click away from the table? Yeah, Perth still in fourth, so looking good for their first finals appearance in some time. And Adelaide are off the bottom as well. Yes, I'm sorry, Dale. And that will that be the first time I talk about things that make Dale sad in this pod? I'm sorry, no. But anyway. The other Saturday game, I was there, but offered a match first because it's the kind of thing that makes her happy. Western Sydney Wanderers 1, Brisbane 3, and Brisbane ending that Wanderers win streak, Madge.
Yeah, look, and a win where I was able to get a good few minutes of not being terrified by the end as well, getting a two-goal buffer going. But, yeah, look, I think it's good reward for the Roar. I mean, they've had, like, some unlucky decisions, you know, in the Unite round game, you know, that very frustrating nil-all draw last round. And so to finally come away with a win, hopefully it's the type of confidence-building game that they need to sort of kick on. You know, and get some confidence in that attacking end of the field. The scoreline probably maybe flatters Brisbane a little bit. I mean, Western Sydney didn't play badly at all, and it's one of those ones where I think if Western Sydney had gotten like a couple where they had dominance early in the game, if they'd managed to sort of convert a few chances early on, it could well have ended up careering off in another direction. But beautiful goal, the first goal from Kaya Stevenson, one of my faves, with just a beautiful ball from Tamika Yallop through that, then Stevenson's of taking it around the keeper and putting it away. So that was a lovely way to start the game. But you know, Western Sydney coming straight back, or not straight back, but levelling up before halftime through Holly Caspers. But then, yeah, Roar just able to take their chances early in the second half. And then it was, you know, Western Sydney's to sort of chase the game. But Roar going ahead, they seemed to just get some more confidence and would just say they didn't really sit back. They kept attacking and kept, you know, causing issues. And I think that's sometimes what we've seen with the Roar, that sometimes when they do get ahead, they might you know, they might let a lazy goal through, but yeah, they just seem to sort of stay fairly switched on for a lot of the game. Even when Western Sydney were looking dangerous, they were staying sort of, you know, focused and eyes on the prize. So yeah, very, very happy with the result. Stevenson had a great game. Really, Shine Fryer again. I would like her to have like a right foot. But when you can still beat everyone beat them on the outside, why not? She still gets all those crosses in, but yeah, it's still waiting for some of those shots on target and those crates chances that she creates to sort of maybe start paying off a little bit more, because yeah, she does make a lot of amazing runs, and just her, even her, the way that she tracks back in defense, yeah, she's just such a workhorse, and yeah, it's great to see the way she's been playing this season.
Yeah, I think it brilliantly summed up. Firstly, before I'll chat a bit more about Raw, but firstly, shout out to the Kaspers, or two of the Kaspers sisters, Maddie and Holly, scored on the same round 2 rounds in a row. And yes, also Brisbane had some lovely warm-up kits that gave me big 1988 Dutch national team vibes, but the white kit they actually wore was also very nice. But yeah, I think you're right. I felt the same way you did, Madge, in the later stages of the game. I thought the Wanderers, despite the very nice goal with their front three combining all of them, Morris, Harding and Kaspers, I thought Brisbane had it pretty much under control. So, I've gone a bit blank here, but that's still a fairly young back line you've got, isn't it?
Yeah, Ruby Cuthbert, yeah. I mean...
Oh, she was good. She was good.
Because she's only 16, so she's some, but she is very tall, but I guess she does give away a bit of strength that, you know, occasionally comes through. But then she was making some really great sort of forward pass, like long forward balls as well, that, you know, were hitting their targets. So, you know, very highly rated. Junior Matilda's captain. So yeah, it's just, she's a great pickup for the Raw, especially with Leah Scarpelli out. Hopefully Leah will be back next week. But yeah, it's so great to have a player of her caliber be able to come in and step up as well. So yeah, it's great to see.
Yeah. And it was, I think, shout out to the one person in a Brisbane Raw jersey at Marconi Stadium on Saturday. I hope you enjoyed it. Enjoyed yourself. Now on to Sunday. And of course you don't get around without a good old fashioned dub chaos game. So firstly, Wellington 2, Canberra United 0. Who wants to go first, and what would they like to talk about?
Congratulations to Wellington.
Yeah,
they figured out that Canberra are very bad from set pieces, and defend like they're playing a team that's got leprosy. there's zone defense for both goals was just absolutely awful. I have never been a big fan of zone defense, especially at a corner. I can understand why you can do it at a free kick, attacking free kick, but like, when you're playing in a league where you're so dependent when it comes to free kicks, or it comes to corners rather, on kind of physical proximity to your defender as opposed to being able to defend a square of land, it just doesn't make any sense to me why they would be defending the way that they are. But, you know, I'm sure that there's some method to the madness. Unfortunately, the method did not show up this weekend, and it didn't help that Rojas had that penalty saved, which I think was pretty poor, but you know, the penalty is a penalty. But yeah, I was surprised, I think, with the seeing so many people talk about, or seeing as many people as I did talk about, the fact that, like, talk about the Riley Foster red card with any form of doubt. I think she'll be lucky to not get 3 weeks for.
It was upheld.
It's 1 week. It's 1 week.
1 week. Okay, so there you go. Interesting. I'm surprised that it wasn't like a 3 weeks of violent conduct. But yeah, on to the next. The pitch.
Oh, yes. And we have embedded a tweet from Daniel Pimpisana, who I met at Unite Round. The pitch looked great. Nice stripes, apart from this one, what he called plot of dirt. He also called it Potorua Heritage. Of course, it's a Potorua Park. We thought we were going to have a Marconi Stadium sinkhole situation, but the game kicked off on time.
I think they must use that for baseball or something, and it might be just something from the adjoining field. It was kind of funny.
Wouldn't be the first time a women's football game has been played on a baseball pitch. Does anyone remember that in the NWSL?
It would not. I do remember that. That was a very good callback.
That was deranged.
Yes. But yeah, other than that, I think Canberra have really only got themselves to blame for the goals that they conceded. Move on and try to not cry myself to sleep on a daily basis. It's been a tough season.
It has.
Yeah.
Shout out to Holly at @anxiety_bean.
Mm.
Time isn't the enemy of Canberra United. Canberra United is the enemy of Canberra United today. Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. Actually, could have been worse for Canberra. Wellington could have shot more from what I saw. So they were doing very nicely and then lots of hesitation in or near the box. But yeah, I think their passing was back to what we saw at the start of the season.
They had a goal disallowed as well.
Yes. For
had a goal cleared off the line.
Yeah. Which was
off the line.
Look, it's not a great angle, but yeah, wouldn't have been surprised if it had been called the other way as well.
The goal that was disallowed, I did see Paddy Barnes tweeting about that today, but I didn't have too much of an issue with that call. I mean, you can't really kind of put your arms over the top of a goalkeeper's shoulders.
That goal in that camp was interesting for the Sasha Grove goal line clearance. Yeah, she is a long way behind the line when she clears it, but
as was the ball.
Yes.
Well, luckily, goal difference doesn't really matter all that much anymore.
It's been moved down in the list of tiebreakers, so fear not, Wellington fans.
You're okay,
Wellington. You got the win. Yeah. That's the most important thing.
That's the thing. Now, whenever you're behind, you can just constantly attack. That's the kind of football that they want.
Yes. Why lose 1-0 when we could lose 6-0? Anyway. And this is... I imagine confusing to a lot of newer Dub fans, or indeed overseas observers of the Dub, who will get this feeling multiple times this season, where they think, what are the Australians thinking of, just generally? Now, of course, I'm talking about Newcastle Jets, 0 Central Coast Mariners 2, and the Mariners winning a piece of motorway guardrail as their trophy. Of course, they are local rivals, and they're taking something from A-League Men's, where... that rivalry is called the Effery Derby in honor of what the road used to be called, not what the road is called now. Again, Australian football. But yes, the tweet of Mariners players joyously holding this piece of guardrail. And as we've said, best league in the world. There's
Ergamar must have no idea what she's signed up for.
Yeah, that's right. The reason I couldn't embed it is because that photo she posted of... on Instagram of her holding the guardrail. It's not the first photo, so it won't show.
Right, yeah, of
course. Notes, but yeah, as I mentioned to Adele off mic, I would have loved to witness a Mariners staff member player trying to explain all of that to Ergamar. Even Jasmine Wardlow, even Faye Bryson.
The men's trophy is a piece of concrete. So it is too. Like, at least the guardrail has a bit of... you know, a bit of luster, a bit of shine about
it. Something can be polished,
Yes.
But honestly, both of them could be way more authentic. There needs to be a little bit of roadkill on both of them as well.
Oh, yeah. That's
really top off the the aesthetic.
Need to have the top of the concrete needs to have like tire marks on top of it.
Yeah.
And it'll smear blood.
I personally rate it. I rate the guardrail because I think it's so funny. Like, that's it. I don't have anything constructive to say. I just think it's funny. Like, seeing them wave it around, I'm like, that's... like, someone took an angle grinder.
Yeah.
Just
you'd hope that the edges have been taken off it as well. You hope that it's been finished.
I hope so, although looking at this photo, I'm not confident.
Their blood on it. You can just be trying to celebrate, and then you become part of the trophy for next time.
Exactly.
Simply because your DNA is embedded in that concrete. May or may not also be with the blood of some poor creatures.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, it's all part of the fun. I love it. It's good. It's definitely better than like other trophies in like the women's game. Like that previous NWSL trophy was horror show.
The one that's just NWSL, a hexagon with a woman's silhouette in the front of it.
Hate it so bad. And the fact that their shield looks like it literally looks like a plate that you would use to serve like a meal on at like a fancy dinner. So I rate the guardrail.
And look, it is actually still a step up than what the W League had for its first few seasons, which was no trophy at all.
I did not rate them saying on the comms, though, because I did see some of that game, that if it had gone to the penalty shootout, they were not going to stream it.
Oh, yeah, I heard the commentator say that. I'm like, well, that's how can that be within the broadcast agreement?
What's the point?
It's
why are we here?
Yes.
So they were saying if the game ended in a draw, it would go to a penalty shootout, obviously, because this is to determine who gets the lovely,
decided over both
charming
games,
guardrail.
Yeah.
That if it went to this penalty shootout, they just weren't going to show it to us. So,
and you know,
thank you, Central Coast, for not going to penalties.
Yes, yes. Thank you to Paige Hayward for making sure we didn't have this situation. Actually, I suppose we might as well discuss some of the actual game, but Paige Hayward missed a very close raid chance at the start of the second half, but, you know, didn't, you know, kept going. She's very, very hard worker and, you know, good mentality as we saw there. I think that also, because Shea Evans didn't touch the ball, that would be an assist from one of Madge's Queenslanders, Tiana Karambasis, I think it was. So she played the ball all the way through for Paige to score. Yeah. I like nods to, I do like some old school WOSO memories, but the idea of having to follow a penalty shootout on Twitter because it's not being shown, that's the bit of the dub I want to leave behind.
Can you just imagine then missing like the trophy and like all that, like the pageantry? It's like, that's what fans live for, like broadcasters, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you imagine that they're like,
and it's not on a channel, it's being streamed. They don't have a timetable.
There's nothing. It's not like the cricket's on after it. What are you doing?
It's the same as like when you watch it. Like when you watch the, if you watch the feed, like the watch the stream, then they don't have like, they don't cut away for breaks at halftime, for example. They just have, you know,
it just shows the pitch.
Yeah, it's a penalty shootout. It's not like the camera has to move.
Yeah, they just move the camera. They show the camera at one end.
Have you two angles? Have the one behind goal.
Actually, no. From watching some football New South Wales stream, sometimes the camera operator doesn't move it at all. Like, they should a little bit, but yeah, I mean, you're right. You don't have to move it.
I will say, on the subject of broadcasts from the previous game, from the Wellington Canberra game, I will say, big shout out to, I assume, Sky, who do the broadcasts over in New Zealand, having goal net cameras.
Yes.
Haven't seen that since, like,
90s English Premier League.
Fox had them when they still had the rights, but they would only do them for big games like derbies or grand finals. But I don't think I've seen one in the dub since. Oh God, I can't remember the last time I saw one in the dub. I know they had them at the World Cup, but that was the last time I saw them in a women's football game. But yeah, we love that.
Yeah,
I mean, people have like cameras monitoring their dogs.
Have two.
just put one of them up in the corner of the net and feed it into the stream. Surely,
like it's still better quality than not having a view of it.
Yeah.
At all.
I mean, our dog camera does stream at 1080p, and it is movable in both X and Y axis. So, and you can talk to the dog if you would like to. So sometimes
who's the dog in this scenario?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Who's the dog? What movie am I quoting?
We watch, when we went on holidays, we would sometimes go, oh, I wonder what Bob's up to. And then, yeah, you can have it motion tracked. That's $50. Come on. Come on, Alex. I know we're broke, but come on.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know we don't have any money.
Yeah, we can use that Harvey Norman Friday Night Football or whatever. Harvey Norman can just shoot us some.
Sponsor us for something, right?
Shoot us some motion cameras.
It's a hard life.
There we go. Dale's watching Bob in higher resolution than I watch NPL New South Wales games. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So commentary,
with the X and Y axis, possibly
the
better camera work as well.
The commentary from Bob is much better than some of the commentary I've heard NPL streams.
One, you should have said that. Two, yes. Now. Now, I think have a quick look. I mean, not too detailed, but upcoming round 15. Oh, how it feels so good to say round 15 of the dub and know that there's many rounds left to go. That's nice.
And you still get to say round 16. And you still get to say, you get to keep going. It's so nice.
All the way up to 22. We've grown up. We're now a real competition in some
We made it. We're a real league, guys.
Yeah. But first up, I'm just going to, well, I won't really discuss the game Western United versus Central Coast Mariners, which is the first one, the early one on the Saturday at North Hobart Oval. But shout out to friend of the pod, Megan, for giving me a little bit of a fan experience report, because she was there on the weekend for the men's game between Western United and Western Sydney Wanderers. Also, that might be another. Oh, that's going to be Ergamal's next topic of confusion. Why are we playing against a Victorian team in Tasmania? Anyway, that poor woman's going to be so confused.
Her first like point of like question will be, why is Hobart? Why is Tasmania? Why is there another island on this island?
I mean,
that's what I'd be thinking.
If there's one country that knows a bit about islands off its coast, it's China. So.
Oh my goodness!
Do they?
Oh my god!
Social credit has gone up.
I mean,
we're about to get hit with cease and desist.
Well, I've actually looked at our stats in Spotify in terms of which countries watch. I think we'll be fine.
Yeah,
because sure we'll be okay. Highest Asian country is the Philippines. Who will agree with you, Gail? Anyway,
who's exactly monitoring the WeChat?
Yeah,
but yes. Megan's fan experience report. So it's very picturesque. I did get that because this is the dub was there last season with Mount Wellington, or Kunyani as they call it, because they've revived the local language of the Aboriginal people, which is called, I think, Palawakani. So, but yeah, there's a mountain in the background. There's the Derwent River. South Hobart FC were at the game, and the president of the club, which is, by the way, a woman. So women in football love to see it. There was a decent conversation there. So South Hobart, you know, I mean, doing good promotional stuff as well. Multiple Matildas jerseys in the crowd. And it is an oval venue, but isn't actually that bad, all things considered. Lots of elevated seating stands and good views even near the corners. And because it was in Hobart, she got to experience rain, wind, and really warm sun. Sounds about right. But yeah, so hopefully that's of use to someone. Some of our listeners who may be thinking of going to Tasmania on the weekend. But I'll just throw to one of you to see what stands out for you over the next weekend. So the other Saturday games, Adelaide versus Wanderers, then Brisbane versus Victory and Sydney versus Perth. I will be at that. And then on Sunday, Newcastle versus Wellington. That's in Maitland, not Newcastle. And Canberra versus Melbourne City. So
I'm looking forward to Brisbane Victory. I'm actually looking at the table, and we could actually catch them up. That's a big 6-pointer for Brisbane. So always fun times.
Oh, wow. I just saw that.
Yeah. I was surprised myself when I looked at the table. I was like,
you do know, if you, I mean, this will happen anyway, but especially if Brisbane win, you do know Victory will just take some of your players for next season. But
yeah, I mean, that's a given. That's, it's like it's our heritage. It's Queensland A versus Queensland B. You can assign the letters to the team as you wish.
Yes, yes.
I mean, they could jump into the finals if they
win
this game, which is wild to think.
Yeah,
greatest league in the world.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, they'll be 5-5-5, so they'll be the pinnacle of excellence in terms of equilibrium of their table position. I think that'll be a good one, to be honest. I mean, Victory didn't look like they were too crash hot on the weekend, I think if there's one team that knows how to play them, it's probably Brisbane.
Considering all of their players are there.
Yeah, yes, I played against you in Queensland Youth League. I know exactly what to do.
Yeah. The small manner of their coach as well. In terms of next weekend, I think Sydney-Perth is going to be super interesting. Sydney really look like they're just kind of bumbling along at the moment. They're really waiting on Wirtz or Connors to come back.
Was that even going to happen? Because I don't.
Well, I mean, Shay Connor is still out with a broken foot, but we, thanks to TikTok, we know that she is back training. So that is good.
Thanks, Fitby.
Yeah. Also, Nat Tobin is jumping, so that's good news. Shame she's going to miss the end of the season, according to whoever wrote that article in the Herald Sun. I think that'll be interesting. But yeah, I think Brisbane Victory. My only concern for that game is the heat, but it is a 6.
Yeah, it's been a bit all over the place, actually. And the way cyclones are going on, who knows, it could be pouring rain as well. So
where's that game being played?
Perry Park.
Perry Park.
Yeah, I think that'll be, well.
It doesn't have great drainage if it decides.
I was about to say, hopefully no rain, because that is right in the nook of the two rivers.
It is in a flood zone.
Yeah. Well,
as know, most Brisbane as
most of Brisbane
as,
is.
As
see also
is.
Wanderers Football Park. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think Sydney Perth will be an interesting one. I'll try and get to that one as well.
Yeah. And also, speaking of the heat, lucky that's Saturday. Max 26, not Sunday, maximum 32.
Yeah, it's going to be a stinker. I mean, today was very uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. And yet nowhere near as uncomfortable as the day they played the Jets at Leichhardt.
Anyway.
Emma, did anything stand out for you?
I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing City play Canberra, if only to see City bounce back a little bit. No offense to no Canberra supporters, but I will also actually be away this weekend. So I'm going away with some friends to a farm that one of my friends' families owns. So I don't know how the internet out there is not good. So I don't know if I'll actually be able to watch anything. But Twitter will be there with me.
Yep.
So I will see the tweets.
That's important.
They can claim that it's going to be like an unplugged, you know, trip. I will not be subscribing to that.
Oh, no. I am of the same mindset. That there's no, we're too far down that rabbit hole. No,
yeah.
I'm plugged in.
There's no off the grid. I have married the grid. And...
The grid is my best friend. I would die for the grid.
Yes.
And I probably will at this rate.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I'm, yeah. Looking forward to seeing what ends up coming of City and Canberra.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Canberra. It's they're so young. They're so young. That's a group of players that's gonna be straight fire in 3 years if they hold it together. But yeah, they've got to go through all the learning trials first. Also just looking
trials
at the table.
By fire.
Yes. Knowing Dell's luck, that'll be the game City turn it on 100%. But I was looking at the table. Brisbane versus Victory, Newcastle versus Wellington, all four teams looking for a win to potentially put them back into the finals. So lots on the line there. And Wellington have had, Dale talked about Brisbane having a balanced record. Wellington are like, what is balance? 6 wins, 1 draw, 7 losses. So they are occupying, they choose to occupy either extreme of the we're so back, it's so overscale. But
yeah.
Stay tuned to see what happens at Maitland to see what side of the scale Wellington fans will be on. Yeah, they're entertaining, if nothing else. So let's just go briefly through the news now. We'll bring you more details as they come to it, but when we get it. But our beloved Parramatta Matildas, they're going back to Spain for this year's IFCPF World Cup, November 11 to 22. And mission number one, knock the Yanks off their perch and take the gold medal home. So wishing them all the best. Now, just interesting things I'm embedded. I think we'll just brush over them to try and manage time as best we can. But I think we covered this topic last week, but in light of the thing about the zone lifting the play wall for the Champions League, there was an interesting article from English podcaster extraordinaire Flo Lloyd Hughes just saying, women's sport needs to be cautious of fairy godmother magic. Yeah, and I think... that's a thing that Australian football seems to fall into, wanting the magic solution, when in reality, there isn't one. Also, a tweet from Paul Wheeler, despite potentially him having drawn the ire of people like Flo Lloyd Hughes, I think he made a good point about Bristol City's attendances. Bottom of the WSL, not backed by a big Premier League men's club, but attracting 6,000 to 7,000 fans a week, which is great. Long may that continue. And then, back to... what we discussed earlier in the Brisbane Victory game. Sorry, Madge. Melbourne City have signed junior Matildas captain Shelby McMahon, her NPL club is Gold Coast Knights. These days, the young Queenslanders aren't even playing for Raw First. They're just going straight to Victoria for their first dub experience. I have a particular...
The winning formula.
The winning formula signed Queen. Hey, it's worked so well for the Matildas.
Yeah.
Over the years. It feels like since we started... featuring a Matilda at the start of the pods. Thanks to Cheryl for that initiative, by the way. It does feel like 2/3 of them have been Queenslanders. Yeah.
The QAS has got a lot to do with that. So I think they started you know, early, putting a lot of investment into their young football program, and yeah, it's definitely paid dividends for Shelby. Of course, has come through the QAS as well, so yeah, a great pathway.
Yep. And what was I going to say? Oh yeah, that this is the thing about, you know, NPL games are all streamed right now, basically every state. So this is the kind of thing that opens up now with increased visibility of even the really young players, like the people eligible for junior and young Matildas. Like, now it's not like back in the day where your first dub team was pretty much going to be in your state. It doesn't have to be anymore. And also a bit of a Millie Clegg update and a welcome one. So the reason we didn't hear any news, she signed for Racing Louisville. So injury wrecked her Wanderers campaign, Wanderers season before it got going, but now she'll link up with, was it Abby Urseg? She's the other Kiwi at Louisville. So yeah, wishing Millie all of the best. Now, couple of spicy tweets. Firstly, I mean, I'm sick of the ACL discussion, but this is Xenia just listing everyone who suffered an ACL injury. It says 11 ACLs in 27 days of January, but that's a small price to pay if you can make more money from more competitions, right, FIFA? So that's obviously in response to both Jill Ward's ACL and FIFA planning a club Women's World Cup, which is, yeah, it's not the greatest idea. But the one I really wanted to talk about, it's from a fellow Katie McCabe fan at Yellows for KM15, because as you may guess, she tracks whether or not Katie McCabe gets a yellow card in a particular game. And she's very busy, but I know, it was in response to a tweet from the Nuco CEO, Nikki Doucet, with Nuco being the organization that's going to take over the WSL and the Championship, England's top two tiers. But the idea, let's please take away this idea that women's football is a family of four ticket style day out. I don't want singers at halftime or meet and greets with Santa, Peppa Pig, or some Paw Patrol thing. I want a pie and a pint, some shithousery, and to peacefully call the ref a wanker. So please don't take us the wrong way. Madge, you can go first. But what are your thoughts on this issue?
Yeah, look, I agree with the sentiment, and I think it's something that Australian, not just football, but a lot of women's sport gets as well, and that as soon as you hear women's sport mentioned, family-friendly is by marketers and people trying to build the game, family-friendly sort of comes in the same sentence a bit. Frustratingly, I guess, from my perspective, I think what builds long-term attachment to sports teams is something a little deep, even though, you know, having a pie and a pint and some shithousery doesn't sound particularly deep, but make a generic event experience probably isn't what's going to convert. People all have this idea in their mind that convert the kids, make them fans, and they think that doing that involves aiming everything towards a kids' audience. Whereas I think that some of the best atmospheres you have is an atmosphere where adults are wildly enjoying the experience, kids are there seeing what that culture is and what makes their role models, their you know, the adults that they're going, that they're attending with, what makes them excited about the event that they're attending, not necessarily, yes, having you know, very kid focused activities which they can get down at the local McDonald's playpen. Like, it's about leaning into what is the overall culture you want from your sport. And we've had this conversation about even the Matildas active area. Like, someone suggested, oh, maybe we should make it just over 18. And like with anything, like, I think there's extremes. I think what we love about the women's game is that, yes, it is inclusive. It's not, it doesn't have that extreme aggro element. Like, you should be able to go along to a sporting event and not have to fear getting into a fist fight with someone. You should be able to, you know, have a safe and inclusive environment where you're not going to get unreasonable abuse hurled at you. So when it comes to Matildas active, I reject the idea of having it being over 18. But what I also don't reject is not a kid's space. We're not here to be anyone's creche. It's like adults, you need to know there will be swearing, there will be beer, it's going to be boisterous. But if you bring your kids in and you're supervising them, it's going to be a safe space. And it's not going to be it's not going to be a hostile place. So like with anything, it's the extremes. Like I just don't like it when anything goes too extreme. And unfortunately, it does get my hackles up, the idea that women's sport equals mothers and kids, because the audience is so much wider and the appeal has so much more potential beyond, being a piece of kids' entertainment.
Yeah, hard to disagree with any of that. I think, as you say, there's a big difference between being boisterous and being violent, and there's a big difference between the kind of, I guess, what you would call the generic kind of masculinized environment that men's football tends to operate within, and a boisterous, supportive supporter environment. I know that I'm kind of a bit of tautology there, but it is what it is. But yeah, I completely agree. I remember Megan Rapinoe once tweeted a lot about the fact that I think it was Megan Rapinoe was tweeting about how we can't be advertising things just to kids, because it's not the kids that have the money, as you say. Yes. It's the parents that make the decisions at the end of the day. And pester power is kind of like, it's a thing of the past now. I mean, we like, if kids want things, they're getting them in a different way than they did in, you know, in the 2000s, kind of prior to what is really the peak of the internet age. And we need to realize that having the kind of atmospheres that we have at women's football are so positive because they're focused on the community that brings that atmosphere. And like having Tones and I perform at the World Cup final was nice, but like, I don't want that to happen at every halftime game, halftime that I go to. I don't want to see, you know, fire juggling or whatever. Just like, if you want to have music, have a DJ or whatever, like that's fine, but like they can't be the focus of the kind of extracurriculars, for want of a word, can't be the focus of the event. Like, as you say, and I speak as somebody that doesn't have kids, but it's not, as you say, there's a difference between like a family day out and a day out for families, I guess. Because if I take my son or my daughter to a football game, I'm taking them to go and watch the football and to have them be there and for them to learn to love the sport the way that I was taught to love the sport, which is by being there with my dad and my friends, and then hopefully they can learn that from me. It's not about going, and I'm not going to a Wiggles concert, as much as I love the Wiggles. If it was a Bluey concert, I could be convinced, but there will be, it's a very different, you know, requirement for these events.
I feel like everyone's having the same conversations over and over and over again, and it's just the powers that be do not want to listen to what literally everyone is saying. Like, please stop with the, you know, they're so inspiring to young girls. Like, I am not a young girl, and I am also not a mother of a child. Like, I have disposable income. Market to me, please. Market to me and my friends. My friends would be more likely to go if I was going with them, because they've quite literally said before, Emma, if you're not going, we don't know what's going on. Like, we need you there. Yeah. But market it to people that have money. It's not, like, it's literally not rocket science.
Yep.
And yet we're still having the same conversation.
I feel like whenever we have this conversation, I can just hear, I believe the children are our future, like playing in the background. Like, that's the marketing plan. But it's like, you know what? Not every kid's going to go on to be a Matilda. Not every kid's even going to go on and be a professional football player. Inspiring the next generation is fine. But, yeah, I used to be the one being inspired by the women's sport, And, okay, you've managed to keep me. Why aren't you appealing to me now? It's like, yeah. And again, this is not to say that that market is ignored. It will never be ignored. So we're not saying that. We're not saying all of a sudden rip off every
no more children
activation at the game. No, like,
do not
still
let
have
the children into the games.
Yeah,
no more. You are under the age of 18. You are not allowed inside.
Look, we can't.
That would do.
Yeah.
That would do wonders for the sign problems.
Oh yeah, that's okay. Know. Maybe I'm on board for that policy.
Although actually, sometimes some of the worst are the adults.
Are the adults? But, yeah. True. It's true.
But yeah,
spoiler alert: everyone's bad.
We do not want to girl boss or gatekeep. We want to grow the game. That is the most important thing.
Can we gaslight?
I'm a Canberra United fan, mate. I've been gaslit for the last 10 years, so
so we can gaslight. Okay. We continue the gaslighting. No gatekeeping.
No gatekeeping and no girl bossing.
No girl bossing, but we will gaslight.
Yes.
I can get around that.
That's okay.
Yeah, as Emma talked about the disposable income, I kept looking to my left at my collection of jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yes, that is disposable income in action, especially if you follow me on Instagram, have seen that photo I took of all my custom jerseys, which is already out of date because I bought two more since taking that photo. But yeah, and also the other thing I wanted to point out, just got a bit deep in the replies of that at Yellows for KM15 tweet. Oh, by the way, just in case you were wondering, it doesn't quite feel like a response to what they were quoting, the tweet from Nikki Doucet, except although I did the comparing women's football to something like Glastonbury was a bit odd. I don't think sport's a bit more competitive than a music festival, but anyway. But yeah, in the replies, yeah, it's the question, why is it that with men's football that people don't like the environment, the response is to stop bringing kids, but with women's is to change the environment? And then as always, the answer is misogyny. Yeah, we're turned into the default care of children that aren't even ours. Yeah, being reminded that's depressing. And
just as an aside, just because there's a drum doesn't mean that your kid gets to come and have a play on it.
Oh.
That's the other thing that annoys me in the roll call.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, just with kids, because I think a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting next to a dub parent who graciously tolerated the question from a kid post-game of, can I get your daughter's jersey? I mean, it shouldn't be too hard to figure out which player this is. But and I almost want to say, I have a jersey with surname number on the back. You know why? Because I paid for it.
Ask for it for your birthday, man.
Yes, that's pester power. That's acceptable pester power.
Be normal. And,
yes. Okay, let's move on. I'll brush over the sensibly tweet section, but I mean, obviously it's tweets praising my favorite players, but there's a video of Kirsty Fenton running through the entire city of Newcastle. There's a very standard Mackenzie Barry tackle, which very clean, leaves the opponent on the floor. Oh yes, I love this from Wellington Canberra. Zoe McMeekin's position was on the field. And at NZW football fan, I love Zoe. I have no idea where she is playing, but I love Zoe. She just spawns wherever the ball is. Is she at centre forward? Is she at left back? Is she at right wing? Is she in defensive midfield? Depends. And lastly, tweets from at W Scout Football. I mean, plenty of praise for, firstly, Kayla Morrison. Good stuff for my KM227 campaign, but also saying Claudia Chico was the most efficient defender in the league. So I don't know what exactly is in this algorithm, but I totally agree with it. Now, on to foreign football. Firstly, but the most amusing bit from foreign football over the last week, big potential rookie error from Aston Villa, who, of course, mid-season signing, Noelle Maritz. They've signed, she's a defender with a lot of experience, so they played her in the Conti Cup. One slight problem, she'd already played in that tournament for Arsenal. So as of the time of recording, we don't know what's going to happen. There's a bunch of possibilities. Aston Villa could forfeit just that game, which was a big win over Sunderland. But it might even extend as far as Aston Villa being kicked out of the whole Conti Cup and all games involving them, the results being annulled. So,
All I have to say is Noelle Moritz is a true Arsenal girl. She's Arsenal through and through.
Yeah.
She did that for us.
Yes. Oh, dear. It's also, it's too tricky to go through the possible permutations now, but I am amused by how many of the permutations will result in Manchester United, who are in a different group, getting knocked out because of the best second place team rule. So, my God.
That would be very funny, though.
It would be funny, and I want someone to interview Mark Skinner the second that happens, if it happens. Now, on to the actual Aussies abroad stuff. Yeah, I got I will update the full. Oh no, I've done the notes this week again, but yeah, that's what you can do when you have COVID. But in the Champions League, Chelsea, Barcelona, Benfica, Lyon, and Brand are all through to the quarterfinals with one game remaining. So the final group stage game is that's next month, whatever. But yeah, on to our beloved Conti Cup. Charlie Grant scored a first goal for Spurs. That was nice. And was it? Arsenal. Oh, poor Reading. That club's in a lot of problems. You'll know if you follow English men's football. But Arsenal beat them 6-0. Two assists for Steph Catley, one for Kyra Cooney-Cross, and Caitlin Ford scored in the same game. So, good stuff. Good stuff for all of Arsenal's Aussies. What else stands out? Oh, yeah, that's right. So the Conti Cup situation, the group stage is finished except for one game, which doesn't matter anyway. But we know Man City, London City Lionesses, Arsenal and Brighton Hove Albion are through to the quarterfinals. Chelsea earned a bye straight to the quarterfinals because of their participation in the UEFA Champions League group stage. It's a weird competition. What can I say? Tottenham will be in as the best second place team, and the other two, we don't know because of the above situation with Aston Villa. Now, WSL, Emma's been waiting patiently, but your Arsenal won again. They won away at Liverpool, and Caitlin Ford scored.
Caitlin Ford did score. She had spent that whole game waiting to score. Like, she was running through defenders. She was all over the place. She was looking for that goal, and she got it. So good for her. No, but it was a good game. If anything, Arsenal probably should have scored more, but the Liverpool goalkeeper, not Tegan Mika, because tragically...
Oh, yeah, Rachel Laws. Annoyingly made a lot of saves, which reduces our chances of seeing Tegan Mika.
A really good game. I hate it when the goalkeepers go god mode, except for when they're my goalkeepers, then they can always do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, she had a really good game and really kept Liverpool in it. But yes, there's no stopping Ford, and there's no stopping Viv Miedema. So here we are.
Yeah, and of course, really, the reason I really wanted to talk about this, Katie McCabe. Oh, Katie.
She's just an icon.
She's
a legend, and she is the moment. She may or may not have deliberately gotten a yellow card, because that would be her like fifth.
Yeah,
so she'll miss the next match as opposed to getting a yellow card the following game and missing,
against Manchester United. I don't know how. I don't know if they combine, if for the purposes of suspensions, Cup and League are counted as the one thing as they are in the men's. I'm not sure, but either way, McCabe has got a fifth yellow card, so she'll miss next week's away trip to West Ham. But crucially, the two games after that, a cup game against Manchester City and then Manchester United in the league. So tactical yellow card.
It was a very good one at that.
Oh my goodness. It was amazing.
She got subbed off and was just like shaking everyone's hands and like giving everyone hugs as she was like walking is a stretch. And was like pulling out her shin guards like on the field to like slow herself down as much as possible, and then immediately got carded.
Yes. Oh, the most textbook example of delaying the restart. And I've embedded so many tweets in this week's pod notes, but yeah, I love this video. Oh, from @yellows4km15. Who would have thought? Just Katie McCabe with the biggest smile on her face after getting booked. I've seen her smile less after scoring goals for Ireland. It was incredible. And then this tweet from Sinead @SakuraAWFC. That yellow was so deliberate from McCabe, as everything Emma said. Told to leave the pitch to be subbed off. Hugs, high-fiving all the subs. taking her shin pads off the pitch and not getting off, not leaving in the location she was told to. She's a wee gobshite, but she's our wee gobshite. Agreed, Sinead. Oh my God. Elsewhere in the WSL, West Ham won the relegation battle, and Katrina Gorry had the odd experience of being subbed in the 12th minute of second half stoppage time. And there'll be more Gorry updates in our Queens, Kings and Emperors section. But yeah, that's rough on Bristol City and their very large crowds. But that's, I think, created a buffer between West Ham and Bristol at the bottom of the table. And I think Dale mentioned pre-pod. He doesn't watch Everton for mental health reasons. I watched the highlights just before we started recording. He is correct to do so because, lots of chances leading to a 1-0 win for Leicester City.
Yeah, extraordinarily frustrating season. I think the only reason that they haven't got rid of Brian Sorensen yet is because the club doesn't really have an owner at this point. If it's not going so great, but God willing, we build that stadium.
Because of the way Bristol City are going, Everton will be back in the WSL next season to continue to ruin Dale's mental health. I did note Bristol City versus West Ham. I mean, West Ham won, but they had a goal disallowed for offside against Shalina Zdorsky, immediately followed by Bristol City going the length of the field and scoring the equalizer. Again, even when West Ham win big games, they do these West Ham things. That's such a... conceding a goal like that, only West Ham will do that. But anyway, only. Once again, thoughts and prayers to Angela Christian Wilkes. So, I've got... Yeah, done the notes for... check the pod notes for details of your favorite overseas Aussie. But yeah, we're on to Queens, Kings, and Emperors of the Week now. So, Madge, you can go first.
I can't go past just Katrina Gorry randomness. I think everyone in the universe has seen the tweet now of just, I don't know why she was late to huddle. Maybe she was getting interviewed, but just coming in. I think I saw, I don't know who it was, but someone described it as a spawning salmon, just jumping into the huddle and basically falling off teammates' shoulders. Just very typical Katrina Gorry thing. Just good fun areas. And she got player of the match as well. So she's clearly settling in very nicely to the WSL, which is what we all love to see.
Yeah, and she also won. West Ham fans voted her as their player of the match. Landslide win, 54% of the vote with four options.
Probably because they saw that and just went, you know, that deserves some praise.
Yes. it's good. It's a good thing she was fresh to do it because she got subbed early. Anyway, but yeah, that won't be the last time she wins player of the match, I'm sure. Dale, you can go next.
Probably the only major positive out of the weekend of football in Melbourne, aside from me getting to see two football matches, which was great. Hannah Kane got a double in the Western United Melbourne City game, huffed and puffed, and then eventually blew the house down. She was very, very busy for the whole game until she was subbed, I believe. She's my queen of the week this week with a fairly impressive performance.
Yeah, it's danger times for the rest of the league if she's picking up form and Western United are in second now. So, something to keep an eye on. Emma, who have you chosen?
Yeah, so my queen of the week is the GOAT, Viviana Miedema, for scoring her first goal back from a lengthy and pretty nasty ACL injury. And it was an absolute cracker of a goal. So, and we are so back to seeing Tim Stillman, one of the reporters, bloggers for Arscast at Arsenal, tweeting 1-0, Miedema.
Oh,
we're so back. I'm so looking forward to having more games spoiled because my stream is delayed just for him to tweet 1-0, Miedema. So happy, but very happy for Miedema because she was saying after the game that she's been feeling, especially after scoring, she was feeling a lot less nervous or scared about big kinds of moments that she hasn't had, and it might get a taste for in a hot minute. So yeah, good stuff. It was actually Caitlin Ford who told her to take that shot. So good stuff.
Unofficially a Ford assist, but a Ford assist in our hearts. Yeah.
I'll claim it.
Yeah. Yes. It's me. Oh dear. Oh dear. COVID brain fog. Now, so my queen of the week, well, I got two of them. Firstly, it is Wellington Phoenix goalkeeper Brianna Edwards. Like, you always tell your subs to be professional and be ready to come on, yeah, dude, at a moment's notice. The reality is, as a backup keeper, you're not expecting to play, but it's not often you get subbed on as a keeper and your first touch is the saving a penalty. She did that. Big celebrations. Also swore in the post-match interview, which we love to see, but also shout out to her mum, who flew over from Australia to watch the game, arriving in Wellington at 2 a.m. She told Brianna she was a lucky charm. Well, she certainly was. Also,
shout out to Dean, who's already put that post-interview onto one of his little tokens. It's that good work.
We need to get Dean like some copper or some brass to use on whatever he's using, so that he can just make, like, put up plaques, like rogue plaques, just around places. could we have a Bree Edwards plaque at Porirua Stadium? Just, I don't know where, just somewhere, put it somewhere. Like, you see those little plaques of, like, people who've passed away and they put them on a bench. Could we get that somewhere? Get it on a fence, get it on the wall.
I've also seen what Dean is working on next. You'll see it's definitely something. But yeah, Dean, by the way, he's at @_monk_FC. And he works so quickly. It's incredible. But it's relevant because, Madge, you got a story. Speaking of keepers who come onto the field and save a penalty with their first touch. Go on, tell us.
Yeah, look, I mean, this was very reminiscent to me. As I was watching it in live time, I went, okay, there's a red card because of an elbow. This reminds me very much of Mackenzie Arnold playing for Brisbane. I think it was 2017. Mm-hmm. Not exactly the same, but again, she, you know, had collected the ball, kind of had her elbows out a bit, sort of making room for herself and copped herself a very similar.
I do seem to remember that.
Yeah,
it was very similar.
Stepped out of line a little bit. And
yeah, player. Very similar natured sort of red card, I thought. And Georgie Worth coming on. So as soon as it happened, I was like, okay, the keeper, I just want to see the keeper come on, save it first time like Georgina Worth did for Brisbane that time. And that's absolutely what happened. So anything that happens with goalkeepers, just scenes with goalkeepers,
yes.
You know, outfielders and goals, goalkeepers going on crazy runs up the field, just going down for the corner. I love it. I love it. Everything about it. It's great.
Yeah, I watched that game as well. Yeah, that's that's actually quite a long time ago now. But yeah, I do.
It's one of my favorite Raw moments. So I was like, and so hopefully that will now be a favorite moment for Wellington fan.
Oh, I'm sure
it'll be one that sticks in the memory. I'm sure.
Big scenes, yeah. No, yeah, well done once again to Brianna. So I think that's it. It's time. Yep, I haven't forgotten anything. So, yep, on behalf of Magellicard, Emma Burke and Dale Roots, this is Eric Subihano signing off for episode 184 of the Beyond 90 podcast. I'm wishing you plenty of good vibes, great coffee, sick tattoos, razzlers, and penalty heroics from your backup keeper. See you next week.